How's it going? Just finishing lunch here on Casual Fridays. I said, just finishing lunch here on Casual Fridays. Tra-la-la. So, having a Beyond Sausage Patty on a sesame seed bagel with some Dijon and jalapenos and some little tomatoes. And you know, I could probably spend the rest of this show chewing, saying nice things about the Beyond Sausage Patty. That's really good. But instead, what I think I'll do is play some tunes. A. That's A. B. Get some friends and guests on the line. C. Just do the goddamn show. That's what we're here for, right? So, the Beyond Sausage Patty and bagel and Dijon mustard and jalapeno and tomato will need to wait and be finished during the music break. Hope you enjoyed Overtime 2. This is Casual Fridays number something. Let's cut the music, the bed music, and let's go to the real music. This is Sin Triangle by Sidney Gish. Some Boston tunes coming up. 3 of 5 Boston tunes. Not too bad. Let's get some guests from Boston on the line to celebrate. We're back with some special guests. We've got Justin and Dave from Massachusetts.
What?
What? What?
What's up?
Racial slur.
There we go. We asked for it and we got exactly what we asked for. Justin is the editor of the Boston Accent website, a comrade of SpookyMag.com. in the fight to get Coil subscribers to give us all their XRP. And Dave is a guy. Dave is someone else.
Is that true, Dave? Are you someone else? You're not Justin?
That's true. I'm an additional person that is on this internet phone line.
Cool.
And having not done even the most cursory of research, I think you do some podcasts, Dave. You want to tell me about that?
No, sure. So I'm doing a thing similar to you guys, where you were just mentioning how you're going to push out a couple at a time. And I'm in the process of banking episodes. I have 3 right now, and I'm going to edit them. And then I'll record, 3 more and, hopefully put out those 6 and then record 12 and then do 24 and then make all that sweet, sweet podcast money that you guys are raking in over there.
Cha-ching.
Let me back announce the tunes before I forget to it, the songs that, as I explained to Justin and Dave, we play illegally over twitch.tv and then wipe off the internet so as to not get a cease and desist. We heard Boston's Sidney Gish with Sin Triangle, Amari with Amari, sorry, Kai knows that I mispronounce musicians' names every week.
Yes.
With Fancy. Boston's Vundabar with Tonight I'm Wearing Silk.
Oh, I like that band quite a lot. Yeah, very good band.
I hadn't heard of them until I started Googling Boston music today.
Yeah, are we done talking? Are we done talking about the set list and I can tell a little story?
We heard Time Flies by Rico Nasty. And one last one, and let me get the details of this right to do it justice. We heard Mediterranean by Somos, RIP to Somos's guitarist Phil Haggerty, about whom you can read if you Google. We're starting off on a fun note. If you Google Suicide by Capitalism by Olivia M. on Medium, she wrote about how the American healthcare system is implicated in the death of Somos guitarist Phil Haggerty with their great track, Mediterranean from Prison on a Hill. Go on, Kai, lift the mood with your story about Vundabar.
Yeah, I was gonna be like, well, my story doesn't matter at all anymore now. Well, I heard that band Vundabar on, I think it came up on like YouTube or something, on like a random thing. And then I was like, oh, this band's pretty good. And they were supposed to play here in Toronto like right before, or like right when the pandemic hit sometime, like late March. And I went to a party, or I didn't go to a party, sorry. I was by myself hanging out in my friend's backyard looking after their place. And there was a huge party going on across the laneway and they were playing Vundabar. And I was like, I should go over there and say hello and be like, what's up? But I didn't do that. That's it.
Sweet.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good band, though. Good band. Very good band.
R.I.P. Phil, and check out Vundabar, and that is the TLDR of the opening set list.
Yes.
Do you two, Dave and Justin, do you have favorite Boston bands we should know about?
Yeah, my buddy's band, they moved to San Fran, but their band, they just put their stuff on... what is it? Cool Guy Spotify, whatever it's called. You know what I'm talking about.
Tidal. No.
No.
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp. It's on Bandcamp. They're called Blue Ocean. They're dope. They're actually in the theme song to my podcast, The Comics Feature. Go on. But Justin, do you have any Boston bandies?
I got one, and I'm probably butchering their name. Anjimily. They've been on NPR's Tiny Desk, a couple other places, and it's Anjimile. They're trans, and their music is like, a lot of their lyrics are about that experience, which is really interesting. And it's just good music. They also have a Bandcamp, apparently. I like that you called it.
It's the cool
one. Spotify. Yeah.
tell you what, because I think we're going to be doing two of them. We might as well spread them out. Justin Kaplan of the Boston Accent, do you have a comedy piece you'd care to share with our darling audience?
I do, yeah. It's pretty brief because, you know, comedy really lives in the moment. And this moment was very short. Let me read this one. Okay. Parents terrified to find teen experimenting with street drug Venmo. Needham, Massachusetts. We sat down with Pam and Mark Brewster, who recounted the harrowing details of their son's crippling addiction to a drug called Venmo. Our 20-year-old Jack sends his friends money for Venmo almost every day, said Pam Brewster, sniffling into a tissue. These crazy kids even have an app to track how much Venmo they're injecting. We just wish you would talk to us about these things, said Mark Brewster. Reefer is one thing, but Venmo? That sounds downright dangerous. Jack told our reporters he has tried explaining what Venmo actually is to his parents at least a dozen times. They're boomers, though. What can you expect? They literally think Zelle is a rapper. And now I'm realizing Canada doesn't have Venmo, does it?
I don't know if we do. Do we? I know what Venmo is.
Yeah, we're aware of all the particulars of the American experience, whether we like it or not.
We just have Interac money transfers. You guys have that?
Well, I know like certain banks do their own version of Venmo, and you guys have Money A?
Maple Money. Yeah.
Hot new app in Canada.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It digitizes our loonies. We put the loonies into a scanner and they're converted into money.
I wonder though if there's some kind of law that we can't have Venmo.
I don't know if it's law or if it's just kind of influence, but whatever the case, the banks up here like have such a stranglehold on how money exchanges hands, I believe.
Yeah,
on Venmo you can like people's you know, money transfers and comment on them too, so it's a lot more interactive. People try and be social with it.
Sweet money transfer, bro. Thanks, man.
It's more like there are a lot of people, you know, sell and buy weed on Venmo. That's kind of what I'm used to seeing, and they all write, you know, kale or something along those lines.
Nice.
Right. Headshots.
Not drugs.
Yeah, not right. Drugs.
I feel like it gets a lot of people in trouble too, because like people are like, why are you sending money to Jessica S? I'm like,
all right. Uh-oh.
She's selling drugs now. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, maybe people just double down and they're like, the only time I ever spend money on Venmo or to Venmo is when I buy drugs, honey. Don't worry. I'm sending this to the Thoughts. Is Thoughts still a thing? What's Cash App? Is that just like Venmo but different?
It's like a synonym for the Venmo app. Different app.
Cool. Yeah, that's much thoughtier though, actually, if we're going on the Thoughts route. That's like, that's the OnlyFans, put it in your bio right next to it.
Take notes, Kai.
Look, I am. I'm making lots of notes because I got lots of thoughts. Suicidal thoughts. That's a band. Shoot. It's not really. Or maybe it
is. Are they in your basement?
Suicidal thoughts? I keep them in. That's why they're suicidal.
I knew it.
I keep them in my basement. It's no fun here. Trust me. I don't even want to be here.
Get them some ping pong or something, man. They're a band. They got to do something.
Yeah. They're like the Partridge Family.
In what way?
There's a weird redhead one who will have a drug problem. They would like it if I drove them around in a bus, but, you know, yeah, they can't leave the basement, so.
I like that you're forecasting that drug problem, too. It's not even now. Yeah. It's coming, though.
It'll happen. I mean, I can tell. After you get locked in a basement, you're going to do some crank.
So are both of you, Dave and Justin, in Boston proper?
Yeah. I don't think either of us are.
Ah, very interesting.
I'm on the orange line, so that kind of gets me some cool guy points, but it's like a maybe 10-minute, 15-minute ride into the city. Justin, whereabouts are you at?
I'm in Somerville. I'm on the red line, actually.
Oh, well, this guy's kicking my butt at the cool guy points. Guy can see buildings.
Yeah, I think the red line outranks the orange line in terms of coolness, but just a little bit.
For sure.
So how's things in Boston or Somerville or on red lines or orange lines?
Pretty quiet.
Yeah, I'll second that one. I mean, I haven't been outside today, so I can't really speak too much to it, but, you know, cold and quiet and pretty much how I imagine most areas are right now.
Yeah, it's actually pretty warm here where I am in Toronto, which is weird. It's been a couple warm days, but you guys have snow? Any snow out there yet?
We got one a couple weeks ago. Little dusting, or it was pretty bad. Probably worse in the city.
Yeah, I think it was on Halloween.
Your cool guy points. Yeah, exactly.
Oh man, what a bust Halloween was this year. That was really sad, it being on a weekend, you know, and all that.
Yeah, well, I still managed to beat up a couple kids, so it was
nice.
Yeah, candy.
I was going to say, did you get their candy? It's like, yeah, of course. Why would you even? Well, for fun, I guess you could beat them up, but ideally, sure. you would get their candy. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got to do it. It's the spirit of the holidays. I wonder what the mask though. So
nice, like to cover your mouth and nose, or you
from
mean
the
like
blood.
A scary. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, the comedy community out here is definitely this. It's mirroring the actual everything. It's like everywhere. It's like everywhere where people have been going and hanging out, you know, for years, are just one by one shutting down. It's rough. And I know a lot of people like are going to Connecticut and New Hampshire and Providence and nearby cities to like do 5-minute spots, places. Oof. Just because that's how bad it is, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, like it, I know a bunch of bands have been doing the live stream, Instagram thing or whatever. And a bunch of them have been starting Patreons and stuff, but I don't know. Stand-ups haven't had the same luck, have they, at like figuring out how to navigate this situation, make a buck during it, eh?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there is such a thing as virtual stand-up shows, and they're fine. It's just like a lot of people, believe it or not, like, well, I mean, audience members who are just chilling at their houses, like, don't feel inclined to turn on their, like, you know, cameras and microphones. So it's like you're kind of just like doing your jokes to nobody and also a bunch of comedians. So it's like, I don't know. It
sounds like a regular open mic.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, soundboard.
Justin, have you been keeping yourself busy during lockdown?
I have, yeah. I mean, I've been doing a lot of writing, been working a normal job. I actually told myself I was going to get back into stand-up at some point this year, but I've been able to procrastinate that with the pandemic. So I'll keep pushing that dream down the pike.
You know, go on.
Oh, I was going to ask Dave if he's done any outside shows. That's really, I know people do that.
Yeah, so I was able to do the show at Blue Horse in West Haven, Connecticut, a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I kind of fucked up the show because I got there late, but it was cool because I got to go on last. And so as I was kind of looking around, like when I got on stage, so we're outdoor in a parking lot and I'm doing my set. And all of a sudden, maybe 30 yards away on an elevated like platform, a train just whooshes by, totally scared the shit out of me. And I was just like, wow, this is different, huh? Like, so yeah, there was that. There's another guy, Dave Radigan, who does shows outside in Salisbury, Mass, at the Winner's Circle restaurant. And that's a bunch of fun. You don't really get too many locals. I think people are genuinely afraid of going outside, and they should be. but it's so sad. And again, you know, it's November, it's cold, people are in jackets. It feels like there was a show here in the States a few years back called The Chamber, where like they would subject people to like really cold or really hot temperatures and like ask them trivia. And now that is the main stand-up culture. You're like, all right, try to remember your jokes. This other guy, really cool dude, Peter Liu, does a virtual and an outdoor show. And no one's really pulling their weight like Peter is, but he, so his open mic is outdoors on Saturdays. And like, he's just like, this will go as long as we are able to physically stand outside. And it's a real blast. But again, it's like you're simulating something that is just, it's never going to be like that, hopefully, unless you're, you know, fucking Chappelle and you have the outdoor Ohio arena. And I don't see that really in my future.
My girlfriend just had on a new Kevin Hart special that I guess he recorded in his ostentatious, like, to the max basement.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe it's not a time to broadcast, like, your gigantic, gigantic basement with, you know, like, all your posters and decorations all over the place.
What posters did he have? Like, posters of him, you mean? Or, like, posters of, like, Einstein and, like, girls playing baseball?
Right. Of, different euphemisms for vomit, like Technicolor yawn.
Yeah, is one of the posters a reason, or 10 reasons why a beer is better than a woman?
Yeah, exactly. So cool. I just thought that was in bad taste.
I think so.
It's like we have bigger things to worry about than whether a beer or a woman is better.
I know. It is the age-old question, though, that only posters can answer.
Posters in a man cave only.
Yeah. If you want answers, you got to go to that dude's garage and sit in that dirty recliner.
This is quality podcasting stuff. I'm getting a notification from Zoom that we've got 10 minutes left in this call for free. So what I'm going to do is upgrade my Zoom account live on the air.
I was going to say, you don't even pay for Zoom. That's that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that Zoom cost money.
When you have multiple people on a call for over 40 minutes.
Jeez. These rules, you know, such a stickler for all these little rules.
Casual Fridays. Listen as Sam completes a reCAPTCHA, selecting all the images of cars.
The joke's on them. I am a robot.
Oh, cool.
I can recognize things that are fire hydrants and when they're not fire hydrants. Also, I was put in my programming.
That is so cool.
There's got to be so many better ways to block a robot from doing that than just clicking pictures.
Yeah. Ask them a question about like a real moral question or something. So their robot brain fries. What is the meaning of life?
Dave the robot, any clues?
Crosswalks and fire hydrants. Compute.
You'll never upgrade your account like that, dumb.
This is
crosswalks and fire hydrants. Beep boop beep.
All right.
It'd be funny if they eventually made those kind of like...
I could have used you. I'm just selecting all the squares of the cross rocks, and as a man of flesh and blood, I've got no fucking idea. I wish I was a robot.
They should ask subjective questions on captchas. That would be fun.
Hot or not.
Yeah, like, you know, what do you think of these people? And then you'd be like, hot, not hot, hot. And then it would be like, sorry, I think that person is quite attractive. And then you can't get your Zoom thing done.
So this is all going so well that I hate to break up the patter. But Dave, do you have a few minutes of material you'd like to do? A piece you'd like to read? Anything along those lines? Want some more time to think about it?
Let's see. Well, we were going to talk about the comedy. Let's see. I'm going to pull up a recent set, like really casually, and no one will. I wish I could just send you a clip over the air. I wish we could do that.
Yeah. Do you want to just send me the transcript to read?
That's what it's going to be like when I'm reading it right now. Because, yeah, I'm looking at my recent files, and they're all about my dumb podcast called The Comics Feature, coming to iTunes in December. But yeah, you guys, some hot talk. This is like, thankfully, like everything is okay now. But like, I keep having these like weird stomach aches, and I went, it's like all doctors know about my like whatever ailment is that it's not fatal. And so like doctors are just at this point lobbing weird suggestions at me. You know, they're like just telling me weird like home remedies. And like one doctor was actually like, what you should do is next time you're getting one of these stomach pains, smoke a couple cigarettes. And like, yeah, like it was weird. Like I knew what he meant, but at the same time, like I don't want advice like a doctor from the 30s would give me. Like I'm not sure where, like what part of Red Dead Redemption 2 he got his medical degree, but it's really not cool to give out advice like that. Like that'd be like if I like went in, he was like, oh, you got a clicky rib, you say? Well, what you want to do is eat a raw steak and yell at your wife. That'll clear up your condition real smart like. But yeah, I can't do any more of that. This is bringing back bad Zoom memories of crosswalks and fire hydrants. Sorry. It's the robot part of me kicking in. I'm going to be in so much robot trouble for this, you guys. You really fucked my programming. Fucking blew my brain open over here, over a Zoom call. That's great. That's real nice. Cover's blown. I'm going to be in the suicide boy basement or whatever we were talking about before.
That's a good name for that basement too, though.
Very inconspicuous.
It's like, what's that, you know, Andy boy? What does that guy make? Apples or something?
Oh, yeah. The crates.
Yeah. They should rename Andy boy suicide boy. Anyway.
Wait, so did you try smoking any cigarettes? That's the age-old question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I actually, I tried so hard, like, when I was going through a breakup, like, in college, I tried so hard to, like, just be a fucking broody, like, dick, but, like, it would just always end in me throwing up, like, so it's, like, it was not cool at all, like, at parties, and I was like, yeah, let me just go outside real quick.
nice.
But, no, I feel like it's even worse now, like, guys, cigarettes are bad. They're real bad. Don't do cigarettes.
I've heard enough of this malarkey. We've got a cigarette smoking expert on the line in one Kai Boysen.
It sounds like something a doctor would say.
Yeah.
Not a robot.
Arthur Morgan told me to do that. That's why it's in his office.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Kai may not have your fancy medical credentials or have done research.
I watched a YouTube video about it, and it said that it's fine. So what? Yeah.
Well, okay.
I did my research.
I'm an avid weed smoker, though, so I should mention that up top. Like, it's not the actual, it's just very conditional about, like, what I want at that time. So it's, like, it's not healthy to smoke cigarettes. Weed, though, you know, that's, like, an element, you know, of my life food group. I don't know. Compute.
Dave, it's called self-care. Anything you want at any given time is self-care.
Exactly.
Be it cake, be it 2-day masturbation session, whatever you feel like doing is self-care, and it's necessary in these difficult times.
Yeah, and you can microwave a cake and have sex with it. You know, that's just, it's self-care, like you said. That's what you're talking about, right, Justin?
That's exactly what I was talking about. I'm glad you guys are, you know, taking care of yourselves right now.
Mm-hmm. Justin, how are you practicing self-care during these difficult times?
I also smoke weed, but I feel like as a weed smoker, I still judge cigarette smokers like quite a bit, which is, it's kind of shitty of me, because they're both, you know, they both serve the same purpose in some regard. They're both self-care. They're both, you know, you're doing it when you want to relax, that type of thing. But I feel like it's beaten into me that they're different fundamentally. I don't know.
Sure. You know what? I know. The only time I feel like I would smoke a cigarette is, do you guys like watch The Wire or any cop show? Like when they're bringing in the perp and he's like smoking cigarettes, like that's just the coolest shit ever. Like I'd absolutely be like, all right, give me a red. Give me a Harley red or whatever the fuck. I'm feeling it. Just can't loop there. Give me an oily lung dart.
Maybe the best cigarette I've seen smoked was at the start of Nirvana's Live and Loud, where Pat Smear has a smoke in his mouth at the start of the set. And as he goes to like start playing the first chords of Radio Friendly Unit Shifter, he flicks it and then starts playing guitar.
Oh yeah. How about awesome. Chappelle on SNL the other night with a cigarette? Was yeah. anything cooler than that? I don't think that was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think cigarettes will ever be uncool. I feel like that's forever going to be a truth, even no matter like what people know about them. No matter how many doctors tell you how good they are for you, it's just like it'll always be cool.
Yeah.
I just thought of the world's greatest idea. Like, this is $1 million invention. All you need to know is how to actually invent the stuff and you're golden. Kraft cigarettes. Is that a thing already? It must be, eh?
Like Kraft, like with a K or a C?
Right, yeah. No, mac and cheese cigarettes. Justin, pull your head out of your rear end. No, these are like artisanal cigarettes.
Oh, like they would be like wrapped in a piece of rope at a farmer's market?
Yeah, oh my God, whatever. Yeah, just some dirt wrapped up in, a leaf. I guess, anything holistic and organic and nice. And it's the cigarette smoking experience, possibly without rocket fuel in it. Or if it is rocket fuel, it's, you know, handcrafted and lovingly assembled.
Yeah, it's like name brand bleach would be in it, not just your run-of-the-mill like rat poison. Like I'm talking like Raid, Clorox. We would,
I think American Spirits, it's kind of their niche, isn't it? They're the ones additive free, but it's like, it's kind of just the same thing with cool branding.
Those were the cheap kind, as I recall in college when I was, very fitting in, like getting in the loop real good.
No, I also, yeah, in college, I also tried. There was a time when I thought I wanted to be a smoker. It was very passing. And it was definitely American Spirits where they're out to go, because it wasn't even so much the cheap. They just, Marlboro Reds were like very serious cigarettes. That's like, you know, a sign that you like actually smoke. But with American Spirits, you kind of dabbled. It was like your foot was in and out of it at the same time. You could stop whenever you wanted. It felt like a hobby almost.
Once you go Marlboro, that's it.
The feeling of acceptance you feel when someone's like, oh man, do you have a cigarette? And you're like, yes, I do. Unparalleled to anything. So just kids, just try it. You know, pick it up, see if it's for you. That's all I'm saying. Kaiser knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, even just like get a pack and keep it in your pocket just to get used to that feel, you know, in your pocket, maybe hold it in your hand and stuff, give it to other people. You don't have to smoke it yet, you know, you got your whole life ahead of you.
Exactly.
And parents listening out there, keep this in mind. You want to start them at an early age so that they aren't caught off guard or embarrassed around the schoolyard.
Yeah. Plus, if we have any prisoners listening, you can apparently trade cigarettes in prison for lots of things, like, I don't know, shivs or...
Oh, that's like real currency in prison.
Yeah.
Cigarettes are like, that's how you get mac and cheese, that's how you get, I guess shivs too, but...
Didn't you, you did a few years of hard time, didn't you, Justin?
I wouldn't call it hard time, it was pretty easy. The, you know, the prison had a tennis court, it was like where Madoff was hanging out, but, you know... I don't like to harp on the past.
Okay. I do have one little game prepared here. It's going to be very embarrassing, very not funny, making it the bread and butter of Casual Friday's live podcast. So, Justin and Dave, what is the number one sitcom associated with Boston? I don't want any smart-ass answers here.
Interesting question. The number one, is this a trivia game or is this
This is not the game. This is just a rhetorical question.
I know the answer.
I gotcha. I think it's Prost, right?
That's right. The German the German show.
Norm, get out of here!
No. It's Cheers, the famous show about the Boston Bar, starring Ted Danson.
As Cheers Provolone.
As Cheers Provolone. Are both of you intimately familiar with Cheers, the full run? Do you know every episode backwards and forwards?
Unfortunately not.
Yeah, no. And I know Frasier even more, which is, you know, and I barely know Frasier.
Big Frasier head over here.
Okay. So this might actually be interesting and a bit of a challenge. You might not just ace this, like...
Sam, did you assume that everyone from Boston or the Massachusetts area watched every episode of Cheers? like they had to?
I assume that, yeah, like all public school funding was cut and every family was just sent a DVD box set of Cheers episodes with a note that says, here, you figure it out.
Yeah. Don't be sad when Coach dies.
So the quiz I've got prepared here is Cheers, Spot the Fake. I'm going to give you some Cheers plot synopses. And using your powers of deduction and your experience watching the show, you tell me which episodes are real and fake.
All right. This doesn't seem fair because Dave's part robot, so he's got the...
An encyclopedic knowledge of Cheers, fire hydrants, and crosswalks.
Most of these episodes are crosswalks based.
The one where Frasier pees on a fire hydrant.
From a crosswalk. Fuck
it, Justin.
Yeah, from a crosswalk.
All right. So there was the pilot episode. What happened there? Retired baseball player turned bar owner Sam Malone offers a naive grad student, Diane, a job at Cheers after she is abandoned at the bar by her professor fiancé. But Diane has other ideas. She tracks him and his young lover to their romantic getaway in Fiji and garrots them both, featuring Nicholas Colasanto as coach. Gentlemen, was that a real episode of Cheers?
Are we on the same team?
Yeah. If you get any of these right, you both win. And there's no prize, so good luck.
Got it. Justin and I are in a cone of silence. You guys can't hear us. Only Justin and I can hear each other.
Right.
You can talk it through. It's like a final answer situation, so you can kind of debate and go back and forth. I just need you to commit one way or the other.
Yeah, like family feud almost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good answer.
I'm going to say this did happen.
I think so, too. It seems like it certainly could happen in Boston. You know, a grad student being left at the bar. It's like pretty, it really sells itself. I'm down with going with yes.
Okay, we'll mark you both down as yes, although Dave is disqualified because his connection kind of distorted there, and that's unacceptable. You have to have an Ethernet connection to compete in this game. Sorry. Number two, having a Norm ol' one. Norm is everybody's favorite barfly, but when his doctor recommends he quit drinking, Norm is faced with a difficult choice. Does he give up his friends at Cheers, or disobey doctor's orders, even if it means risking his health? Growing increasingly agitated by the conundrum, Norm visits his doctor at his home and garrots him, featuring Nicholas Colasanto as coach.
Okay, so I'm going to say, this is not a real episode because Norm, if I remember correctly, is very overweight and unattractive, and people like that should never stop drinking. So, that does not seem realistic. And I know Cheers is, grounded in reality to some extent. So this could not have happened.
Yeah, I'm going to agree because doctors really only prescribe cigarettes, too. They don't usually tell people to stop doing things.
That's a very good point.
Right. There's no money in stopping things. Yeah.
So I also agree. This can't be real.
Sure. So that's two fakes from the group. Episode number three, Mayday, Mayday, part one.
Well, a two-parter. Or maybe parter. I shouldn't have said that shit. Okay, sorry, go on.
It may actually be a 16-parter.
Ooh.
A sulking Sam laments the rotator cuff injury that brought his baseball career to an abrupt end. Dr. Frasier Crane offers to help him work through these issues and come to terms with this. After Sam agrees, Dr. Crane forcibly sedates him and amputates his arm at the shoulder, replacing it with a string of beer bottles, yoked together with surgical tubing and Gorilla Glue, featuring Nicholas Colasanto as coach.
I mean,
yeah, I'll let
Gorilla,
you start, Justin.
Gorilla Glue, I'm jumping in here. Gorilla Glue wasn't even invented yet when Cheers was on the air, right? So there you go, right there. That one's gotta be fake.
Maybe that's where it got invented, Kai. Did you ever hear? Maybe the product was inspired by the episode.
By the 24 episode arc where he sews Mayday Malone's beer arm on in real time.
Yeah, I was gonna ask how many beers, because that really will dictate if it's true or not. Like, how long is the arm?
That is, I am not allowed to answer that. That would give away the answer.
Okay, that's fair.
Got it.
That's fair.
Judges ruled. Judges, is that your ruling? Okay, the judges have ruled that I can't answer that.
Gotcha. They're tough, but they're fair, you know? No one can say that they're not tough and fair.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, the judges have confirmed that they're tough, but fair.
Nice, nice. Yeah, so, I'm a bigger Frasier head, like Justin, as we're called, fans of Frasier. and from my knowledge of Frasier, Frasier does not practice this sort of medicine. Frasier is a radio psychologist? Psychiatrist?
Mm.
Yeah.
Psychiatrist?
I never knew if he was a psychiatrist or psychologist.
Not such a Frasier head after all, are we?
I don't know if anyone knows.
I thought they called fans of Frasier Frasierisraelites.
I've heard that too. Craniacs.
It's like the
boom.
That's more like we call each other that. I don't know if it's cool for you to say that.
Oh shit. Okay, yeah. Sam, can you edit that part out after? I don't want to offend any of the Frasierisraelites. Ah shit, I said it again. Edit that part out too.
I'll get APAC on the line and make sure, or Freypack, the Frasier lobby group.
I'm gonna have to pray toward the Space Needle to make up for all these Frasier atrocities. This is really embarrassing for everyone involved.
Okay. I think that's did not complete for both of you on that one.
Ooh. It's a tough call, you know.
Hey, what Frasier... the fuck? I said no. That did not happen. No.
Okay, okay.
Bring the judges into this. This is stupid. Judges?
Okay.
The guy owns
They've
the jury.
Sentenced me Fine. To death. They side with you, and I'm going to be executed
there
after
we go.
The show.
See that?
So,
America.
Well done. Good for you. All right. Mayday, Mayday, part two. Distraught at his amputation, Sam garrots Dr. Crane and skips town. At Frasier's funeral, Mayor Thomas Menino delivers a eulogy so deeply emotional, the mourners succumb to hysteria and garrot themselves en masse. Back at the bar, Cliff celebrates a promotion at the post office, raising everyone's spirits and helping them forget about the dread specter of grisly death haunting their bar. Featuring Nicholas Colasanto as coach.
That's who, okay.
Yeah, this coach guy is always in the picture when there's some suspect shit going on, man. I don't like this coach guy one bit. And I think everywhere this guy is, there's controversy. I don't like it. He was supposed to revive a show a few years ago. Never did it. He's a fucking bum. And this episode may have happened. I'm going to go yes on that.
Okay. Justin, any thoughts?
Did you say at Frasier's funeral?
Yes.
Okay. Well...
Was Frasier so rack your brain?
Yeah, yeah.
On, the,
I mean,
on Frasier, the spinoff, was he dead or not?
He was reincarnated at least once. That's how we became Frasierisraelites.
Yeah, good point.
I don't know which one you're referring to. You know, this one, it feels like there's something off. And yeah, I'm going to defer to the robot on that one. I don't think it's right.
Okay, interesting answer. I thank you for your patience. We've got one more. One more question in Cheers, Spot the Fake. Boston sports legend Bobby Orr hosts a fundraiser for presidential candidate Ichabod Shitstain at the bar after President Shitstain's recent nuking of the Midwest by mistake. Coach, who was visiting his daughter in Ohio at the time of the strike,
motherfucker,
I know, appears in a dream to the Bruins legend. The skin scorched from his face, his eyes lolling in his skull, the undead specter of Coach Pantuso lumbers through a city of death, barking a strange incantation. 2 minutes for roughing. 2 minutes for roughing. Orr wakes in a cold sweat and is so unsettled by the dream he garrots himself. Back at the bar, Woody takes an interest in politics by garrotting the president, allowing Carla to run in his place. Elected in a landslide, President-elect Tortelli sucks and fucks character actor Danny DeVito, appearing as himself, uninterrupted for 4 more seasons, garrotting his cock till it explodes in the thickest torrent of jism ever broadcast on network television. Featuring Nicholas Colasanto as the nauseating visage of Coach.
A lot of garroting going on.
A lot of people don't remember that.
I must have not watched the show very carefully.
Yeah, it's funny. People, yeah, they tend to not remember that.
They remember the bar stuff.
They remember the good stuff, you know? Yeah, the bar things. They remember Woody.
But not all the
not
people
all the
that yeah, had their throats strangulated.
Yeah.
You know, that it all sounded like something Bobby Orr would do. You know, the first part before the garroting. But the jism on the air, would they air that back when this show was on? You know, that's a real question.
That is a question, especially because like there was a big period of time where just like no one heard from Danny DeVito, and I think this could have been the result, or that was the result of, you know, just I mean, after hearing that, I don't even know how I identify anymore. Like that's I'm shook.
That is correct, and you win. Cheers, spot the fake. Judges? Okay, yes, the judges give you resounding thumbs up for your hard work.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's how you do that.
Awesome, yeah. That was pretty...
Oh, the judges farted.
That was pretty easy, actually. I didn't think that my lack of Cheers knowledge would work, but I'm glad it did. And maybe it's just being in Boston, you have the baseline knowledge that not everyone has. Like you said, it was in the curriculum.
Right.
Many a times a TV was wheeled in and we listened to Cheers.
Well, I wonder, Justin, you don't have to, but do you have one more piece you'd like to read?
Yeah, actually, I do have one.
What a happy coincidence. And then we'll let you guys go after that.
Okay. So this one, Massachusetts considers changing state name to Boston since everyone says they're from there anyways. State House,
Boom. Boston.
In an unexpected but honestly totally valid move, Commonwealth legislature has announced on Monday they're actively considering changing the name of Massachusetts to Boston. No one from outside New England can name a single place in Massachusetts besides Boston. So why don't we just lean into that? Said one lawyer, who lives in Medford but tells all relatives his apartment is literally next to Fenway Park. During a public hearing for the name change held this week, dozens of Massachusetts residents expressed their support for the measure. I tell my coworkers at our West Coast office that I'm from a small suburb of Boston called Worcester, said one software engineer. It's just way easier that way. Besides, I don't even know how to spell Worcester, let alone Massachusetts. The single opponent to the proposal, a proud resident of Cambridge, loudly declared that Boston is trashy and uncultured, instead suggesting the state consider more tasteful names like Havardia or the Republic of Camberwell. At press time, representatives from Western Mass were overheard whispering to each other about seceding. And that's it.
Amazing.
Very nice.
Thank you. Judges, was that funny? Okay.
Boom.
So there you go. You have a successful career in comedy ahead of you. Dave, Justin, what would you like to plug? And I'll let you know how many people are currently watching on Twitch, just so you know what sort of audience you can hope to reach today.
Six people.
We are currently broadcasting to nobody.
My plug is that the Comics Feature podcast features stand-up comics, and we're going to have a Boston accent episode, and we're clearly going to have a spooky episode. So you zero people who are listening now, if you like these guys, definitely check out some movie and Boston comedy talk. That's all my plugs.
I'll plug the Boston accent. We are wicked serious satire. That's our new tagline as of today. So yeah, check out thebostonaccent.com. We've got tons of great stuff. I know Dave's got some bylines here. Sam's got a byline at least. Kai's got a future byline. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
Who really knows? You know, lots up in the air right now. But it's a fun website. We got a lot of good writers who also write for other websites as well that you may have heard of. So I definitely check it out.
Yes.
We'll do one more set. Justin, is Baby No More a good Jimily song?
Yeah, actually, that is.
All right, we're going to go out on some Boston tunes. There is Headlock by Cousin Stiz. Is that Justin's cousin? I don't know. We'll save that conversation for another episode. Baby No More by Jimily and Drive by Marissa Nadler. RIP Phil Haggerty of Somos. Thank you, Dave and Justin, for coming on.
Thank you, Dave and Justin.
And Kai for sharing his cigarette wisdom.
Thank you, Sam, for giving me a platform to be smart on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. And if you want the rights to Rico Nasty's music, I can do you a little favor. I got that in my back pocket. So just...
Oh, sweet. Yeah, Dave Nasty. Let's take this conversation offline. I'm going to be Sammy Nasty by next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I put the drink in the headlock. Tryna cross me, boy, you better not. Four until four, almost fell out. Do what they can, cause it's deadlock.
Tell me, am I
supposed to hurt you.